the 1.2 billion people who live on less than $1 per day.
Have mercy on us.
For the victims of storms and other natural disasters.
Have mercy on us.
For the victims of war, terrorism, and violence.
Have mercy upon us.
For all poor and neglected persons who are unemployed and looking for work.
Have mercy upon us.
For the homeless and the destitute, the old and the sick, for prostitutes, drug addicts, the mentally ill, and all who have none to care for them.
Have mercy upon us.
For reconciliation among peoples of all races and creeds, that we may know your peace.
Have mercy upon us.
For peace in the Middle East, Turkey, Israel, Syria, Jordan, Egypt, Yemen, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan.
Have mercy upon us.
For peace in Africa, Somalia, Libya, Sudan, South Sudan, and Nigeria. Terror, disease, and death as their constant companions.
Have mercy upon us.
We pray that you will bless and watch over this cathedral and its ministries.
Have mercy upon us.
We pray that you will draw all people. Change our lives, forgiving us of our sins, and granting us the gift of your Holy Spirit.
Have mercy upon us.
We pray that you would bless our enemies and give us the courage to forgive them.
Have mercy upon us.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
Son of God, we beseech thee to hear us.
O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whose blessed Son was led by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, come quickly to help us who are assaulted by many temptations. And as you know the weakness of each of us, let each one find you mighty to save. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, no one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read a portion of Psalm 91 in unison. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Mighty. He shall say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my stronghold, my God in whom I put my trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, there shall no evil happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder. You shall trample the young lion and the serpent under your feet. Because he is bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Christ.
After his baptism, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during these days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an appropriate time. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On Thursday, I was at Camp Weed for a clergy conference. That's in Live Oak, Florida, and I have AT&T, which is terrible in rural areas. If you have AT&T, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So after all of the meetings and things were over on Thursday night, in order to call home and say goodnight to my family, I had to walk up a hill in the dark. The stars were amazing. I called home, and Jake, my 15-year-old, wanted to talk immediately. He told me about this amazing scientific discovery that had been done that day. One of the greatest scientific discoveries of our lifetime, proving Einstein's theory of relativity, that there is such a thing as the space-time continuum, that there is such a thing as black holes, and we even can hear them colliding. As Jake was telling me this, I was looking up at the stars. I don't understand Einstein's theory of relativity. It makes my brain ache. But I do know that something more has been discovered about the landscape of our universe. And in discovering it, we realize even more that we don't know. We uncover more of the mystery. So I stood there looking up at the stars, thinking, I really don't understand much of anything at all. Do you know that the wilderness in Jesus' day, the desert, was kind of like what outer space is for us today? It was that place where you went to be on the verge of death, to be just barely surviving. The desert was so dangerous back then. It still really is today. I mean, your sweat evaporates. You can't see your body losing its water. You may not be able to find any food. There are creatures that bite and sting, and all kinds of other things that could happen. You're living on the edge. And in the desert, you're totally alone, as you would be if you were alone in space. It's really important that Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, first he is baptized. He's showing us how to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. So the first thing he does is establish a formal relationship with God in baptism. And the second relationship that he establishes is with himself. Before he helps anyone, Jesus goes out to the brink of survival to know his own mind. It takes courage to learn the landscape of your mind. It's a scary thing, because you have to be alone. And you have to be willing to listen to your own thoughts. And all human beings, even Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted. All of us have thoughts that come from the darkness. All of us. We all are tempted by evil. It's part of the landscape of our minds. And the first thing that Jesus did was to get to know that landscape. He went out into the wilderness. He listened. He listened to all of his thoughts. He recognized those that were from the darkness. And then he rejected them. He listened, he recognized, and he rejected. You see, the great gift that God gives us is, yes, we do have chaotic minds that are full of sinful thoughts and temptation, but we also have the capacity to reject those thoughts. We have the capacity to just let them go, to not follow them. Every single one of you has the ability to say no to temptation. Have you all seen this new movie, The Martian? It's about a man who, Mark Watney, who is an astronaut and a botanist. And he's out there on Mars with his team, and there's this huge storm that comes up, and they think he's dead, and they leave. So Mark finds himself alone in a desert. And everything about that planet is geared to kill him. And Mark talks about what goes on in his mind. I mean, what would you do if you found yourself on Mars? I'd probably just say a prayer and lie down. Mark talks about the despair was right there. It would have been so easy for him to just flip out, tear his suit, scream and cry, give up. Throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, the devil says to Jesus. Just give up. It would have been so easy. Mark had every excuse to despair, every excuse. And he knew that the despair was there. He knew that the fear was there. He knew the anxiety was there. He knew the self-pity and the wallowing. It was all ready for him. But he also knew that he had a gift and a love of problems. Mark liked to solve problems, so he starts to focus on the present moment. You see, the devil, temptation, whatever you want to call it, it generally works in the past or in the future. Either I made such a mess, I'm a disaster, I'm a failure, or my life is going to fall apart any minute now, sometime in the future. If you want to follow God, you have to stay in the moment. That's why God's name is I am, not or I was or I will be, right? So Mark works on staying in the moment, solving the problem that is right in front of him. How can I grow food on Mars? I need water. How do I make water? And he begins to solve one problem after another. He uses humor. He turns on a camera and films himself as he tries to survive and as he eats the same awful food day after day after day. He just takes it one step at a time. At the beginning of Lent, Jesus invites us to know the landscape of our minds. You see, if we don't understand our own temptation, we'll get stuck within it. We'll interact with it, we'll get into relationship with it, and we won't be able to serve God. There are people, many people, walking around on this earth who are doing nothing more than battling their own temptations or spinning their own wheels, and they can spend their entire lives doing it, never really getting out of the self. As I was praying about this Bible text, I kept picturing these beautiful landscapes that our Sanctuary Guild makes for us during Lent. Do you see them? The cacti there? Look at that and think about it as your own mind. You can get through that, right? But you would have to know that there was this big spiky thing that you had to walk around, right? Our temptation, our sin comes from a number of different areas. It can be genetic, it can come from bad things that happen to us in our childhood, or even not so bad things. It can come from habits that develop. Part of it is a mystery. But you can get to know what your temptation sounds like in your own mind. One of the things that's good about the devil is he's completely unoriginal, you know. So you're liable to have the same temptations over and over and over again. It's rather easy to identify them, actually. How do you do that? Well, Therapy's good. Of course I'd say that. I'm married to a therapist. Just ask your loved one, what do they think that your temptations are? They'll tell you. They probably know them right away. It's much easier for us to see each other clearly than it is for us to see ourselves. But if you don't listen to your thoughts, recognize them, you won't be able to let them go. You'll keep bumping into them again and again and again, thinking that everyone is always mean to you and mistreats you again and again and again, or losing one job after another, again and again and again. If you're bumping into something in your life, it may be time to listen to the landscape of your mind. You can journal. You can talk to your loved ones. You can talk to yourself. I know that sounds scary, but it's easy to do. Just voice your temptation. You'll hear it, and it'll sound not so good. Our minds are a great mystery. They are, in many ways, as incomprehensible as the landscape of the universe. But we can get to know certain things about them, and like Jesus, we can listen to them, recognize them, and reject them. I have a great black lab. She's wonderful, and every morning I take her out on a walk, and she thinks that it's her job to make all the squirrels go up in the trees. That's what she does. It's not her job to take the squirrels or bite them. Just make sure they're up in the trees. So she runs around with great joy doing her duty, which is to make them all go up there, get them off the ground, for heaven's sake. Every morning when you wake up, you could think of your mind in that way. Where are your temptations? They're like squirrels running around. Can you get them back up on the trees? Can you wipe them away? Just say no. No, I'm not going to be a ball of anxiety today. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to drink too much. I'm not going to gorge myself. Whatever it is. We've all got something. But you can't say no to it if you don't see it. You can't chase it up into the tree if you don't know it's there. There's nothing more that the darkness hates than bringing something into the light. So it's your job and my job to firstly have a courageous relationship with God, and then have a courageous relationship with ourselves, where we're actually willing to look at our own faults, failures, and temptations with courage and hope, because God has given us the ability to say no to them. You can do it. But the only way to say no is to begin by listening. Listen to the landscape of your mind. Amen.
Now let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our salvation,
sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
My brothers and sisters, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad you're here. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but you've got to hold your hand up so they can find you. I'm so glad to see all of you today. Welcome, welcome. We have a lot of wonderful things going on in Lent, opportunities for you, and I think there are still some brochures in the back, is that right? If you want a brochure that outlines some of the classes and things going on in Lent, just raise your hand and we will bring you a brochure. So just hold them up if you want one. Yep, keep those hands up. Thanks. Tonight, there's the Lenten Choral Evensong at 5 o'clock. And that is a beautiful, beautiful service. You're all welcome to come. We also are inviting some people to join prayer groups during Lent. I started being in a prayer group about a year and a half ago, and it's made a huge difference in my life. So if you're interested in praying with three or four people, once a week, just during Lent, just to try it out, just call the church and we'll set you up. You can see how that impacts your life. During Lent, we also have a number of classes going on. There is a forum in Tolliver Hall, which we're teaching about Mary Magdalene and Mary the Virgin and the women in the Gospels. Upstairs, the bishop has a video series on the book of Revelation that is being taught, and also there's a centering prayer group that meets at 10 o'clock. Next Sunday, after this service, there are two really interesting offerings. One is our first offering on civil discourse. Please see your bulletin for more information. Civil discourse is an opportunity to learn how to sit in a controlled, facilitated environment and begin to talk with people that you disagree with on ethical and political issues. We really need to learn how to do this in this country. So I hope you will come and learn from Reverend Greg Kaufman, who is here and who is an expert in civil discourse. That will be after church next Sunday. Lunch will be included. Also next Sunday at noon in Ingram, there will be a workshop from the AgeWell Institute, and the workshop is on how to manage your medications. Very practical, good workshop. So see your bulletin for more details about those. Remember that immediately after his baptism, Jesus walked out into the desert to the very edge of survival, and there he came to know the landscape of his mind.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and singing. Praise you and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him and he in us. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and there is too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.